The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Silver. I also cover the NBA playoffs, music news, the top movies, and a visit by Harry Carey. All this and much more on Revelator, happening now.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Revelator. My name is Ryan, and I've got a great show for you lined up, so stick around. A lot of great stuff along the way. Music news. Again, a lot of people are like, man, how come you haven't done impressions in a while? And I was like, we've been busy doing a lot, interviews and all kinds of other stuff. So tonight is the night Harry Carey's my version of Harry Carey is coming back this evening. So if you haven't heard it, you're in for a treat later this evening for that. And no, I have not been drinking. Just to put that out there. But hey, a lot of other great stuff, some really interesting, funny stories. And we have a great band tonight as well. Kilver, definitely stick around for that. Really killer track from them. So you don't want to miss out. But I tell you, let's jump right into it. The lineup for the 2013 Rockstar Energy Uproar Festival was announced on the 22nd of April. At least the headliners were anyway. And that is Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction. This is from Jerry Cantrell himself. So he wanted to go out with another really great band. This is what he explains. So Jane's Addiction is a great band. We've always really admired them. I remember touring with them, years ago. They were a kick-ass band. Also joining them on the main stage will be Coheed and Cambria as well. Tickets go on sale April 25th. The tour will kick off in Pennsylvania on August the 9th. Also, another interesting tour. I remember Megadeth and Gigantor. It was really huge some years ago now, and it's hasn't quite been a Gigantor of late, but Megadeth announced that David Draymond from Disturbed, his side project Device, will be joining him on the Gigantor. No other bands have been named as of yet, so obviously stay tuned for more details as far as what Megadeth is going to be up to. Hard telling. Is it going to be a Gigantor? That remains to be seen, but we'll keep you abreast here as far as that situation and if that tour is going to get off the ground. And also, last week we talked about the Boston Marathon. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I think we said our piece last week on it, and I feel pretty confident that about our perspective that we offered, but I wanted to bring a story up. New York native band Dropkick Murphys raised $65,000 in just 15 hours for those affected by the Boston Marathon bombing by selling t-shirts on their website. The t-shirts were priced between $24 to $26.99, based off what size, of course. And, it was for Boston with a photo of the skyline of the city. And also in the back was the actual city seal on the back. They thank everybody for purchasing those. And all proceeds of those shirts will go towards the families affected by the Boston Marathon bombing, and also the tragedy, later this week, come to find out of, this lunatic, going over MIT campus and stuff. Again, we don't spend a whole lot of time on that tonight. I think we covered our perspective on that. But I just thought it was good to see. We always try to, bands that are out there doing a little extra, we appreciate that, and figured it was definitely worth mentioning. Now, speaking of a sad story, this took place Friday night here in Nashville, where I'm at. Todd Harrell, the bassist for Three Doors Down, has been charged with vehicular manslaughter after a fatal collision this Friday night in Nashville on Interstate 40. The Nashville Police Department says Harrell was driving fast down Interstate 40, which is a dangerous highway here in Nashville, when he clipped the side of a pickup truck that went down an embankment. The 47-year-old driver of the pickup, Paul Howard, was ejected from the truck and unfortunately had died because of the injuries. Now, Harold displayed signs of impairment during his field sobriety test when he was taken in to custody, that he failed his test. And then at that point, they ended up doing a search on him. During the search, they found, check this out, a plastic bag containing 8 Xanax pills, 24 oxycodone pills, and oxymorphine pills hidden in his sock. He's also going to be charged with bringing a controlled substance into the police station. It gets you coming and going, I guess, in that. But really a sad story, not because of the bass player for Three Doors Down. Look, I mean, you can't drive fucked up. That's just the way it goes. I mean, I think everybody's made that mistake maybe once or twice, and either you grow up and you learn from it. I mean, this guy's, in his late 30s, into his 40s at this point, you would hope that he'd have a little more common sense than that. And unfortunately, a family is going to be affected in losing a life. And there's no good side to that story, unfortunately. His bail was set at $100,000, and he currently remains in jail at this time. So I guess when you go see him, you know, in jail, you'd be like, yeah, it's he's three doors down, Block C. Another interesting, I guess, I hate to have all these sad stories here tonight, but Chrissy Applett was better known for the 1991 hit I Touch Myself. She died the other day at her New York home after battling breast cancer and multiple sclerosis as well. She was 53 years old. Now, in 2007, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and then in 2010, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Obviously, succumbing to that disease, unfortunately. And she was by her side with her husband and also her family and friends. She did die in her sleep. She did go peacefully, I guess, if anything there. And I don't think anybody doesn't know at least some of the lyrics to that 1991 hit, I Touched Myself. And obviously had a lot of great success in the early and mid-80s as well. Really great singer, musician. Obviously a sad loss and a tough way to go with, you know, two different diseases in such a short time to come to that at only age 53. But hopefully people will continue to touch themselves. Legendary Ramones drummer Marky Ramone, obviously known for his punk rock days, but he was also known as drummer for the hard rock heavy metal band Dust. It was really one of the first heavy metal American acts. They released two solid albums. The first one was self-titled Dust, and the other one was called Heart Attack. 40 years later, the two records are actually going to be re-released. You can actually get them on Amazon.com or iTunes. They're remastered by Sony Legacy, and they're going to putting those out in the deluxe release. Again, those are available on Amazon.com and iTunes if you're interested in hearing the original Dust albums, the remastered editions of those. And take a look at our movies here at the box office, starting with number 10, working our way up like we always do. The Oz, The Great and Powerful. This movie has made $223 million in the box office, only $3 million this past week, in just 7 weeks at the box office. Jurassic Park 3D at $4 million. Evil Dead taking a big drop from the box office from last week, but making almost $50 million in 3 weeks. The box office only making $4.1 million this past week. And Olympus Has Fallen at $4.5 million. The Places Beyond the Pines, $4.7 million. G.I. Joe Retaliation, $5.7 million. Scary Movie 5 at $6.3 million. The movie The Croods at $9.5 million. The movie 42 about Jackie Robinson. Again, a lot of people were saying that Harrison Ford is probably going to win an Oscar for his performance in this film as well at $18 million. In 2 weeks, has made $54 million. And number one at the box office this week, in its opening weekend, that is the movie Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise, at $38 million. Those are your top movies here at the box office. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, now the moment you've been waiting for. Coming to the Revelator Show at this time, hailing from the Big Apple, New York City, I bring you the band Kilver.
What's up, guys?
Hi. Hey,
thanks for coming on the show. Leon, Ulana, yes, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Wonderful. It's been a pleasure, and I know you guys have been really busy, man. And you know, we kind of talked during the first part of the show, kind of our pre-show stuff. You guys have been, you know, busy traveling around, recording, you know, really kind of hitting the pavement hard. I appreciate you, you know, squeezing some time out for us. Talk to me about, you know, how you guys have, what have you guys been up to? I mean, obviously traveling, trying to get this record out. You know, the single obviously is very, very good. People are going to hear it tonight. But how the travel's been for you guys?
Things have been great. Things have been busy. We launched the band probably late in 2012. Been writing, pretty much took off 2012 just to focus on writing new material, refocus from our previous band. Added a couple of members, changed a couple of members, kind of regrouped. We were doing some things artistically that we weren't super proud of and wanted to kick it up a notch and go a little heavier, a little bit more rock and roll. And, this band is definitely the answer to what we were looking for. And we've grown up and gotten better all around as musicians, as songwriters. And thank you so much for the kind words. We're really proud of the first single. It's called In My Head. It's got Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses. And we've been writing a lot. We're continuing to do some co-writes across the country, and we're excited. We're really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys. When I first heard the track, it was, you know, God, it's been a couple months ago now, and, you know, started following you guys on Twitter and, you know, bugging you constantly via email and all that stuff, you know, about being on the show. But, you know, it sounds like you guys are, you know, heading in the right direction. And I want to get into, you know, obviously member changes and recording and stuff. We'll kind of get into that a little bit later. First, I want to talk about, you know, the name Kilver. How did you guys come up with that name, or how did you settle on that particular name?
Well, you asked me, I want you to ask me a different question. Band name related, but I want you to ask me a different question. Can you ask me the question you asked me before, which is what band names didn't make the cut? Because that's the one I want to answer.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about which band names did not make the cut then.
The band name that didn't make the cut was Kilver, because it's actually Silver with a C. Pronounced with the silver, so it's...
Oh, man.
Oh. I'm busting your balls, man. It was awesome. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, there's the answer to that question.
Ouch.
It's cool. It's all good, man. It's a play on words, obviously, and it's obviously gonna confuse most people who don't, you know.
We had that mistake, happen before to us, so it's not surprising. It's funny, but we believe that as it's a new band and it's a new project, and we are still, you know, we are taking this to the public. If we haven't had a show yet in the new arrangement. So people are still learning our name, and here's starting with today.
Yeah, remember what I said? I didn't want to sound like a jackass on the show, and here I am, you know, with not even, 30 seconds of the interview, sound like a jackass. So welcome to Revelator. How you doing? My name is Ryan. Sometimes I sound like a jackass. So
we couldn't talk. Now we can't spell. C-I-L-V-E.
Hey, so... whatever it is, it's moving in the right direction.
Obviously. Wow. All right. Well, moving on here. Wow. It's like, I feel like I'm in VHS fast forward right now. I tell you what, you talk about recording, you know, writing, obviously working with Bumblefoot on the song. Now, you know, what is, you know, obviously working with him, great guitar player, playing with Guns N' Roses as well. Obviously, he's got a busy schedule. How did you guys, you know, meet up with him, man?
We were on tour in 2011 with Sick Puppies, our great friends Adelita's Way and good, great friends Framing Hanley. We were touring, and he actually came out. He lives in New Jersey. He came out to the Starland Ballroom to catch the show. And, you know, he made his way backstage after our set and complimented our set and started talking to Juliana.
Yeah, it was amazing to see, you know, a person of his talent and his caliber, mingling with new young artists. You wouldn't expect that. I mean, you don't expect really anything, but seeing that, it's inspiring to see people like him paying close attention to what's going on and what's happening in the young side of the things in a rock music. So we kept the relationship over the time, and one day we just throw the invitation out there, and it was so natural, and he said yes.
Yeah, we were actually recording with our good friend Cooper in New Jersey, and he lived in the next town over, and we were kind of tweeting back and forth, and he's like, hey, I want to come over. So he came over to the studio, and we gave him a sneak peek of a few songs, and in my head, you know, struck him. He loved it, and he's like, I don't know if it was him or Juliana or one of the assistant engineers who was like, hey, you should play on it. And he's like, fuck yeah. Actually, can I curse on this show? I don't even know.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
All right, sorry. So he said, fuck yeah. And that was it. That's exactly how it happened. We finished the track. Sent it to him, and he's like, you know, we're voxing back and forth, and
he loves voxing.
Yeah, so he basically told me, he's like, so what do you want me to do on it? And I'm like, do whatever you think is right. And
he nailed that first take.
He sent it over Vox within an hour, and it was done. It wasn't even like
it was perfect.
Can you change this or that? It was perfect. So
yeah, very we cool, didn't man. Change one note. he was so nice to ask us, do you guys like it? Do you think, you know? And I was like, dude, I love it just like it is. It's like perfect. Yep.
No, I mean,
Bumblefoot, Mr. Bumblefoot, the greatest.
No, he can definitely shred. I mean, he's been involved in a lot of other projects, and it's good to see, you know, someone who's, you know, kind of, you know, obviously, you know, made his own way in the music industry, kind of give back, you know, and really take an interest in other bands and younger bands and up and coming bands like yourself. I think it's really cool, man, and he seems like a really cool guy. I mean, obviously, you're going to learn a lot from him. I mean, not necessarily just musically, but what kind of things have you learned from him professionally as well?
Well, I had to learn how to play his guitar solo. That's first. That's one. That wasn't easy. You know, he's a really zen type of guy. You know, even he's got a lot going on, obviously, with Guns N' Roses. He's got his own stuff going on musically. He's producing. He just launched a hot sauce line. And he's got like six different flavors. Bumblefucked is one of them. There's the hottest one. It's hilarious.
I was going to tell you guys he's throwing hot parties. You totally spoiled that for me. Because those hot parties, you have the hot sauce.
Yeah, he's
you cannot stop feeling hot.
But to specifically answer your question, regardless of everything that he's got going on, and although he's super generous, but he's always has this calm nature about him that, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, it's... Don't get deterred by anything. Don't, you know, quit. Don't change course. Just continue doing what you're doing. And, you know, Me Talk Pretty has been through a lot in the music industry, and we've been on tour, and we started from playing in front of two people to ending with headlining runs across the country. And there's only so much you can learn in this business after you've done so much. But when you meet a guy like him who's done 10,000 times more than you have, it's an amazing thing to learn that
it's very inspiring.
Humility and to be humble and just continue perfecting your craft and writing songs and just being a true artist is the biggest lesson I got from him.
No, I that's a great answer, and it sounds like you know, it's always good to you when you hear stories, because you know sometimes you hear the opposite, you know
yep.
To hear, you know, someone again who's made it really his own way, and you know, as a guitarist, as a musician, as a songwriter, you know, the list goes on, you know, to be that humble and be that really that zen, you know, is really cool. Now, kind of switching gears on you a little bit, I'm interested about your musical influences, your early music influences. If both of you could kind of give us an inside track on what really piqued your interest musically.
Sure. Well, rock, I grew up listening to Alice Cooper and Metallica. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. It's where I am from. Let's say the music got there a little bit later. But definitely, you know, I love a lot of bands of the 90s. I have some 70s influences I truly love as well. But I would say I'm mostly a 90s, early 2000 kid. That's pretty much. And there are a lot of bands going on right now that I love.
Along those, for me, it was jumped from late 60s, early 70s to the grunge era. Those very clear influences for me. I mean, grew up on what my father gave me to listen to, you know, the Zeppelins, the Beatles, Floyd, and then discovered my own stuff when I was born in the 80s, and so I'm a 90s kid, so listening to Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and Nirvana, you know, three of the first records I bought. So it's pretty clear for me. I mean, and yeah, obviously every type of music you listen to, whether it be country or pop or, you know, EDM, you pick up some influences. You'll hear some dubstep influences on the first single. So it's everything that you listen to kind of seeps through.
You know, I think it's definitely good to take a little from every genre. You know, you definitely have to be broad, especially nowadays. There's so many different genres and subgenres out there. But now, Yolani, you hinted something about, you know, obviously some of the newer bands. You vocally as a singer, I mean, is there a certain artist or a female artist? We've had a lot of different female fronted bands on. Is there a certain female artist, you know, either from, you know, the 70s, 80s, or even in, you know, the modern age that you kind of you know, pattern after or look towards for, you know, inspiration at all?
Definitely. You know, I mean, I love a lot of vocalists, mostly male vocalists, to be honest. You know, Robert Plant is like one of my favorites, but definitely, if I have to choose a female vocalist, that is more something that I relate to right now, it would be Lizzie from Hellstorm, and she's probably the best, in women in rock right now, and she's amazing. I've seen her live many times, and then something that lately I feel very passionate about is Corey Taylor from Stone Sour. I absolutely love him. And his voice.
Corey Taylor is
and him.
I mean, he's, you know, that's pinnacle when you look at especially, you know, in the last in that 10 to 15 years between Slipknot and Stone Sour. I mean, that guy has put together a pretty impressive music catalog overall. Now you mentioned earlier, you know, obviously, you know, you had some band member changes, you know, to change the name. Dynamic, you know, when you're recording songs, has that changed at all? Have you noticed a different synergy in the studio, adding a piece and taking away a piece when you're writing songs?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest with you, the writing process has always been Juliana and myself, at least to the birth of the song and the basic structure, melody, lyrics, and things like that. And then we bring it into the band who puts its stamp on it. And without them, you know, the song wouldn't actually be what it ends up being. But the writing process, I mean, we write with a pen and paper and an acoustic guitar or sometimes even a piano and build it from there. So the member changes and things like that haven't really affected us. In fact, negatively, they've only affected us positively because the people that we've added recently have really brought something special to the table, like a lot of great ideas, a lot of musicianship, you know, we added a second guitar player who's got some fresh ideas, and our bass player is super talented and comes from a progressive background, so we've been able to do some really cool stuff that we haven't been able to do in our previous band.
Very, very cool. Now, the album, obviously, you in production at this point. Do you guys have a release date at this point, or?
No, actually, we're still writing for it. We're releasing this song. We actually released it last month, slowly, and it
the single in my head.
Yeah, the single, and it's not necessary. It's kind of an introductory track to Silver, what you can expect, and it's doing extremely well. It's actually going to radio next month, and we expect it to do. We hope it will do really well, and expect some great things to happen from it. And we're still writing. We're not even close to being finished. We're, you know, 12, 15 songs in. We're actually flying out this weekend to Las Vegas to write with our great friends Rick and Rob from the band Adelita's Way.
Very cool.
And, you know, we're then going to go probably to L.A. in June and then to Nashville to do some more co-writes and kind of just focusing on songwriting. And when we complete the record, we'll know it. You know, we used to kind of write 10 songs and call it a day, and we're trying to do much different things with Silver. We're kind of writing as much as possible, and then when we feel like we have those 10 songs, then it's time to record that final record, you know?
Very cool.
I wouldn't say we are taking our time, definitely not, but it feels good to not be on a deadline as we most likely have been always before. We obviously work really hard and we're trying to be as fast as we can at it, but it's nice to not have that one deadline that's going to be you have to put your record out in the fall. So obviously we do have a soft deadline for ourselves, but it's great to have the chance to do these kind of things that we haven't had before, writing with people we love, we appreciate, and people who, you know, have been working as hard as we did.
No, that's definitely has to be a release, you know, because we have so many bands on there like, oh, you know what, you know, we had to have this album done by, you know, X date, you know. So it's got to be nice to you know, be able to take your time, you know, organically take your time, write the songs, and make sure you're putting something together that you really, really want people to hear. So it's good to hear that you guys are taking your time. And I have to ask, you heading to Vegas, is there you guys gamblers at all? What's your game?
I am. I have a gambling crew in New York City.
I value my money, not me.
Oh, don't let her fool you. She bets on color on the roulette table.
There you go.
Crazy.
I knew
she
it.
Like watches.
I put like $5.
Oh, she watches every single table within eyesight, like all the five tables around her. Oh, and as soon as she starts seeing like a streak of four reds in a row, she'll run across the casino and put money on
you
black.
You just spilled all my secrets. All my secrets.
Roulette is also my game. I bet you have memorized the blocks of numbers on the wheel, don't you?
Maybe.
Lately, we're in the craps, though. Craps is something that we got into.
That I have not memorized.
Our great friends in a band in New York City, you guys should check out. They're called Man on Earth. They introduced us to the game craps. I used to play poker a lot, but it's not as social. You know, I always wondered what the hell's going on in the craps table. Everyone's yelling and screaming and having a good time, and I'm sitting there playing Texas Hold'em and trying to keep a straight face. It's like, this is not fun anymore, you know? So, switched over to the craps. My new thing.
But, yeah, probably this time we're not going to gamble as much. We're going to, you know, gamble on with our own time and money to definitely go get some amazing songs with Rick from Adelera's Way, spend some quality time with them, you know, and have a very fruitful collaboration. Really looking forward to that.
Very cool. Well, sounds like you guys have a busy schedule. If you're going to be in Nashville, like I said, I tell everybody this. I'm like, you know, if you're going to be in Nashville, like, give me a heads up. I wouldn't mind. You know, I'll show you around a little bit and have some fun and have a couple beers down on Broadway. I'm always game.
We will definitely take you up in
Nashville. Yeah, I love Nashville. We have been there many times. I got to tell you, that's one amazing city. I absolutely love it. Town, city. I would say town sounds better. I don't know. It just sounds flavorful. What an amazing town.
Nashville's like is like the biggest small town ever. You know, it really is. You know, and like everybody kind of knows everybody to a certain extent. Everybody's really. I've never had really any issue when you go downtown. You know, Broad Street and Second Street. You know, whether it be at one of the tattoo shops or Doc Holliday Saloon or wherever you end up going. You know, you always end up having a good time. It's pretty easy to have a good time down there.
It is.
You meet a lot
it
of random people.
Feels
and have
like
fun.
There's a celebration going on. I really love that. Yes. It's like so alive.
I love about Nashville is every time we're on tour and we pass through there, it's usually somewhere in the middle or the last half of the tour. And, you know, we're on rock tours, heavy music, metal, you know, loud. And then we roll
your
in.
Your ears are ringing all the time.
Yeah. And then you roll into Nashville and then we usually have a day off or something like that. And you walk into a country bluegrass and it's like, you're in a different planet. It's just, it's like almost a cleansing thing. And then you just walk in and I'm like, where am I?
Dude, and amazing, amazing artists playing. Like
true artists. Yeah. Yep.
True musicians. Yes. It's awesome. So you have to be proud. You have to be proud. Nashville is awesome.
Yeah. Nashville is one of those towns you can walk in and the first part of the bar, there's, karaoke going on and you walk down the hallway and take a right and there's a band playing in the back room in the same building, you gotta like that atmosphere. It's just always something going on and a really good time. Again, the offer is always there. You guys have my information, so if you're in town, definitely look me up. I'll do my best to show you a good time.
Very, very much appreciated.
We'll take you up on that invitation for sure.
Wonderful. And hey, I tell you what, now the track, the single In My Head, which is, I dig the track. When you guys first released it, like I said, I've been following you on Twitter for a while. Really excited for you guys. You seem like really good people, and I appreciate you guys taking the time out. What can you tell us about this track? And if people want to know more about you, where can they find more information about Silver?
Right. Well, the track, it's called In My Head, and as we were saying before, it features Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses. It's cranking up a solo. It's so far it's been received amazingly well. The lyrics pretty much talk about media and what media is feeding us and, all the things that we are told to do, to wear, to be, to think. Everything that we're not, that we are supposed to be, the the, you know, the standards that exist in somebody else's head that they're not real. So that's what the song talks about. A lot of people, after we released the song, a lot of people, a lot of our, you know, friends and fans, I hate calling people fans. It's just kind of derogatory because everybody has a soul and a mind, you know. So our friends and people who saw us performing live before, they wrote us and they told us, dude, I love the song. It's very real. It talks about things that I feel about, from pregnant women to men who, you know, feel like their girlfriend expects different things of them. So it's like really broad, like from that point of view. It's basically expectations and who you truly are inside when you sit with yourself inside of, you know, a room with four walls. So that's in my head. More about Silver, more about the song, it's on our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/Silver. Our Twitter is Silverband, CILVERBAND. Same thing with YouTube, Silverband. There's a teaser video on YouTube.com/Silverband. It has five tracks, 30 seconds of just additional tracks that you can hear what we're working on.
And we really hope you guys are going to enjoy the song as much as we do and when we wrote it, and as much as, you know, our friends who know us enjoyed the song. And let us know what you think. We want to hear from you. We like to talk with you, not alone.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have both of you on the show, and forgive me for butcher, you know, sound like I don't have a problem. I sound like a jackass, you know. Forgive me for that. So
No worries, Ryan. It's been our pleasure as well. Thank you so much for having us.
It's been a pleasure. You really great people, man. I'm glad we had some time to chat a little bit tonight. And I tell you what, I know I'm extending all kinds of offers here. When the album comes out, come back and we'll do some deep cuts and chat some if you guys are into it.
We're definitely into it. When you know, we'll hit you up as soon as it's coming out.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and get the track rolling here. This is Silver in My Head here on Revelator. Have yourselves a good one.
Sleep.
here on Revelator featuring Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses, In My Head. And thanks again to Silver for coming on the show tonight. To find out more about Silver, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on Revelator Episode 8. Show title coming later. And tell you what, we've got more awesome stuff coming for you here. And a lot of great stories. We're going to get into our... I love these stories, man. I tell you, you can't come up with this. I titled this one, I Want My Chicken Wings. I want them. I want chicken wings. Look, this takes place in the state that I reside in. That is Memphis. Well, I don't reside in Memphis, Tennessee, but this is in the same state I reside in. This just happens to take place in Memphis. Now, the Hart father and son go to this fast food chain in Memphis. And apparently, they were displeased with their service. And after brandishing an AK-47 rifle to the employees who forgot an order, they were arrested. Now, Pirtle's Chicken is known for its, I guess, really, really great fried chicken. And these guys were really, really mad, apparently, that their order was messed up with the drive-thru. Investigators said the man demanded more chicken when they went back to the restaurant. 45-year-old Hart Sr. allegedly pulled a AK-47 on the cashier at a fried chicken place. And at that point, you know, once the coworker saw the guns, you know, ducked away and, you know, called the police, and they came and were arrested on, you know, obviously felony possession of an AK-47 and, you know, waving it around and threatening people with it. Now, also, they had 24 live rounds of ammo, so basically one clip of ammo on their AK-47. One spectator said, well, I guess in this area, people just don't play around with their food. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when I go to the drive-thru, I'm usually pretty upset, but I'm not like, you know what?
Here we go. AK-47, the very best there is. When you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room, except no substitutes.
Now, if we can only add on there, when you fuck up my chicken wing order, I'm coming after you. AK-47. Unbelievable. Here's another interesting one. This takes place in Augusta, Maine. State police, an affidavit of a man who was arrested. It was carrying bacon, marshmallows, $395 cash. He was arrested on burglary. Now, the items of this 47-year-old man named Christopher Knight, who was, you know, charged about a month ago for stealing food from a campsite from children with special needs. Now, this particular gentleman apparently has been living in the woods for 4 decades. When they went and searched him, they found keys, pliers, electrical tape, a watch, a baseball hat, coffee, hamburger patties, chicken nuggets, cheese, corn syrup, and potato chips. Now, since he was arrested, this is the weird part that I find here. Okay, since he's been arrested, he's actually received a telephone proposal for marriage, and a stranger's offered to bail him out. Now, the stranger offering to bail him out, I don't think, is necessarily a bad thing. Now, the part of, I want to marry you because you've been living in the woods. The thing that concerns me the most is not that he's been living in the woods and, you know, and he's got all these interesting items, but notice there's no soap listed. There's no soap listed here. This guy's been living in the woods for decades and he doesn't have any soap. He stole all these things. He's got hamburger patties, chicken nuggets, cheese, corn syrup and potato chips and water, electrical tape and pliers and keys. No soap. Irish Springs, I think, should come in and offer him a sponsorship. Come on, do our commercial. Woodland creature Christopher Knight. Jesus in my laundry? What? A man who ruined his clothes during a recent laundry session says it was due to a heavy-handed mishap of holy discovery. Well, it just happened he just poured a whole lot of fabric softener on his shirt. Now, he took a picture of this. It took place in the United Kingdom. The fabric softener stain said it looks like Jesus Christ. And he says, I wonder what Jesus is trying to tell me. How about use less fabric softener next time? You know, the best part of waking up typically is Folgers in your cup. Unless, of course, you're attending this particular high school. A 6-year-old student whose name has not been released was charged with assault about a month or so ago after urinating in a teacher's coffee pot. This is reported by KPHO. Now, the alleged student took this alleged incident took place on March 15th at Central High School in St. Joseph's, Missouri, when someone reported that the coffee pot had a strange odor to it. It tasted funny as well, like a chemical or a cleaner, someone said. Investigators determined that the strange substance was actually human urine and reviewed extensive surveillance footage to determine which student they believed to be responsible. One teacher who drank the pee and fees coffee has sought medical attention. Apparently, some of the diseases that can be brought up from drinking someone else's urine can take some time to develop. Still, she did have health concerns, obviously. The best part of waking up is urine in your cup. In other news...
Newsflash!
Starbucks is now charging $9 a cup for urine house coffee blend. Check it out. Let's move on with the NBA. Man, the NBA playoffs. Anybody knows this is one of my favorite time of years, you know? I love the NBA playoffs. I mean, March Madness is great, don't get me wrong. But you want to see real basketball. NBA playoffs is where it's at, I'm telling you right now. That, it doesn't get much more competitive. If you like basketball, look, the NBA playoffs are where it's at. Now, granted, maybe the opening round can be a little, you know. But let's take a look at the East. And I think everybody, consensus is that Miami's coming out of the East. It's just a matter of, is anybody going to give them a series? Now, the Milwaukee Bucks, they may win a game. They may win a game out of best of seven. May. Doubtful, but they might. If they are going to win one, it's going to be a Milwaukee game three or four. More than likely, it'll be a sweep. The Brooklyn-Chicago series, the 4-5 matchup, is looking to be very interesting. Look, Chicago is all heart and grit right now. They've got major injuries. Derrick Rose is not playing. Brooklyn has no excuse. They have home court. They lost this game, too. So interesting to see how Brooklyn bounces back when they head back to Chicago with the series tied up. Indiana-Atlanta, I think Indiana realistically – matchup-wise, is the only team I think that can push the Heat to at least force a game seven, at least put it back in their pocket. The Boston-Knicks series, I think it's going to be an entertaining series. Knicks should win that overall. The Western Conference, though, wide open. Oklahoma City, they absolutely dismantled Houston. I would be surprised if Houston wins a game at all, as bad as they looked. The Clippers up 2-0 on Memphis right now. Look, you want to talk about entertaining games. And Memphis Clippers series has been great. And last year they played in the playoffs, and the year before that, that kind of a nice little rivalry there building up. It's a shame to see these two really good basketball teams meet in the first round. You usually don't see that, but the West is so loaded with talent, you're going to see good teams and good matchups. Now, the other one I'm intrigued by, at least I was intrigued by, and that was the Denver Golden State series. I think Denver's going to win this. You know, I have no doubt Denver's going to win it. Now, David Lee from the Golden State Warriors went down out for the rest of the playoffs with a torn flex hip muscle, hip flexor, some type of torn muscle in his hip. Real nasty injury. He's going to be done. And the Lakers, everyone was like, the Lakers could beat the Spurs. Look, maybe, but Dwight Howard would actually have to put effort in. You know, if Dwight Howard is struggling against Tim Duncan at this stage of Tim Duncan's career at, what, 37 years old, it's not going to happen. It requires effort, defense, tenacity, things Dwight Howard just doesn't possess, unfortunately. Sorry, Lakers. So that's kind of your NBA wrap there as far as the playoffs. As far as Western Conference, I think it's going to be OKC, and I tell you what, I'm going to go with Denver. I think Denver can force the hand against San Antonio. It's going to be definitely fun to watch, but I think Denver, if they can get the pace to where they want, I think they can beat San Antonio in a best of seven. I really, really do. I really like Denver. I've been high on them all year, and I just hope they don't prove me wrong. Also, in other NBA news, the Cleveland Cavaliers, obviously, they just fired Byron Scott here a couple weeks ago. Not a firing I'm happy with. I guess I understand it. The Cleveland Cavs have won as many games in the last three seasons as the Miami Heat have won this year since LeBron James left. Yeah, think about that for a second. Yeah, 64 games the Cavs have won in three seasons. The Miami Heat won 64 out of 82 this year. Yeah. Has a very good basketball going on in Cleveland. But they hire Mike Brown back after 3 years of firing him. Look, all the radio pundits, and they're like, oh, man, those Cavs teams, they weren't awful. They weren't bad. They made it to the Western Conference. They made it to the finals in 2007 with Mike Brown as the coach. Yes, Mike Brown was the coach in 2007. The Cavs did make their only finals appearance as a franchise on that team. You had LeBron James, Larry Hughes, Eric Snow, Biggs, Jonas Gagauskas, Sasha Pavlovic, Damon Jones, Anderson Varejão, Ira Neubel, and, I don't know, Donyell Marshall. Now, you tell me if that was a good team or not, roster-wise. Now, the East was awful. Look, the Pistons were falling apart. Dwayne Wade was hurt that year, went out with Miami, and there was no other great team in the East at that time in 2007. Allen Iverson was shipped out west and was playing with Denver. Look, the East was garbage, and LeBron James is the best player in the East at that time, even in 2007. And they went to the finals, they played the Spurs, and they got swept. Now, you look at 09, 010, yeah, they won 60-plus games. They had the number one seed. Look, I don't have anything against Mike Brown at all. I think he's a great coach. Is he a coach that's going to win you a championship? Look, no coach in the NBA is going to win a championship unless you got three or four big-time studs on the floor, period. End of story, okay? You have to have some serious basketball players. People are like, oh, well, he couldn't win with LeBron in 5 years. He couldn't win with Kobe. Look, Mike Brown didn't even coach a full 82-game schedule with the Lakers, okay, before he was released. He had a disadvantage coming in on a shortened season, and then, you know, they fired him 3 weeks into the season. Who does that? Nobody does that in the NBA. It was a quick trigger move. Look, Mike Brown, when he was in Cleveland, he did a good job. You know, the best the franchise ever had. But look, you look at his playoff record, it's not great. It really isn't. His in-game adjustments, chasing, his inability to make in-game adjustments, not only on the wax board, X's and O's, but also personnel. Not being able to match up correctly personnel-wise game to game to game in a best-of-seven series is what did that Cavs team in. Not because they didn't have talent on those teams. Those teams are good. They won 60-plus games. They were the number one seed 2 years in a row. With LeBron James, they had a lot of great players on that team. Mo Williams, Lonte West, they were a little small. They didn't have a stretch 4 or 5, which we now know ended up being, you know, it was kind of a pivotal change in the NBA at that time as well, where, you know, the big guys really weren't big guys anymore. You know, they had Zdrunas Skousas, Anderson Varejão, Shaquille O'Neal, and, you know, Josh Smith at the end of his career, and Ben Wallace. Look, those type of big, solid, you know, rugged in the paint guys, that's not where the NBA's at anymore. It's stretch guys, you know, spreading the floor out. Cavs couldn't match up with that, and Mike Brown couldn't put the right personnel on the floor to counteract moves that other coaches were making. He was outcoached, outclassed, X's and O's, and personnel wise. He really was. End of story. Is he a good coach? Yeah, he is a good coach. But I don't know if his time away, if he's gained any more knowledge or ability to correct those particular mistakes should the Cavs ever reach that scenario again, which I don't think they're even close to reaching. That's my take on the Mike Brown situation with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and this is coming from a Cavs fan. I'm not thrilled about it. I didn't like the Byron Scott firing. I understand why they did it, and that's just kind of the way it goes. You know, Major League Baseball is back, of course. And, you know, we had Michael Ricucci from Terrorizing Records on a couple weeks ago talking about the Major League Baseball season. And, you know, and I'm not going to talk baseball tonight. I want to talk about a different story, and this is where Harry Caray comes into play. You know, we've all heard the story, you know, 1945 World Series. Billy Goat Tavern owner William Sims placed a curse on the Chicago Cubs when the team denied his goat Murphy entrance into the famed Wrigley Field. Since then, the Cubs have not been in a World Series, nor have they even won a World Series, let alone, you know, really even come close. They've came close a couple times, but they haven't been in the World Series since. The curse of the Billy Goat is referred to this day. It's ridiculous. Some may say it's an urban myth that lives on and on and on. You know, there's lots of urban myths out there that carry on and on and on. However, this one takes the cake. Sadly, too many people take things way too seriously, okay? This actually happened. This is a real story that happened at Wrigley Field a couple Wednesdays ago. A package containing a severed head of a goat was sent to Tom Ricketts and was dropped off at the ballpark. Now, I couldn't help but wonder when I saw this story, what would the famous Harry Caray say about a severed goat head being delivered to Wrigley Field? I have a feeling it would go something like this. Hey, Harry Caray here. So did you hear about the severed head that was sent to Wrigley Field? I mean, FedEx will ship anything to the ballpark today's days. I mean, I like FedEx. I ship it. I use it. I've seen the movie Seven. I was going to ship a head once. Hey, I was. I was going to use FedEx. I was going to come back from the grave and chop Steve Bartman's head off and mail it to Ryan Sandberg's house. Hey, how about those hot dogs? Goat head, spicy mustard. Oh, shit, is that a goat head in my office? God, it was a real mess. Hey, Harry Caray here. Animal sacrifice is a serious thing, and I don't recommend it. But they say if it fits its ships, even gonads, according to FedEx. Ah, this is Harry Carey. I'm out. Thanks, Harry Carey, for stopping by. Reminding us that goat sacrifice is serious business. And it is true if it fits the ships, man. Even, you know, so keep that in mind, you know. I don't condone that action by any means. So just want to clarify that at all. I don't condone severing of goat heads and sending them to ballparks. No goats were harmed during the bit of the Harry Carey impersonation. It's an impersonation of impersonation of impersonation of Harry Carey. Hi, Harry Carey here. But tell you what, a really great show tonight. And I got a great show for you next week as well. You definitely don't want to miss it. The April 30th show is going to be huge. And we've got Oleander coming up in a couple weeks as well here on Revelator. So definitely spread the word. It's omnes.tv. Omnes.tv. And also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. And again, my thanks to Silver for coming on. Really great band. Really dig the tracks. So definitely look for more from them as well. Mike, wonderful job as always. And everybody on Twitter, thanks for the support. Ryan_unsigned. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was Episode 8, Clever Silver. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.